may wonder just exactly what they're supposed to do. This is our final study, but I think we shall see in a moment. Romans chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. But I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Now read in verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now that's all we'll read tonight, because that is all that we will certainly have time to consider. You'll remember that we, in looking at this book of Jonah, we have learned some of the typical lessons that are to be found in it. As Jonah brings before us the sinner, the backslidden saint, and also in a very beautiful way, the Savior. And then we've been looking at some of the moral lessons that we can learn from these experiences through which Jonah passed. And we considered the historical aspect. And we found that it was a true record of an actual experience that a literal man passed through. Now there remains, before we leave this interesting little book, just a consideration of the prophetical picture that we have in Jonah of his nation, the Jewish nation. I believe that in the experiences that Jonah passed through, we have an illustration of the experiences of the nation of Israel. Let's just recall some of the main events in the story. Certainly not go into all the details of it, but I believe if we recall the main events of the story, there'd be something like this. We were reading of a Jew who was called by God to a special mission to the Gentiles to carry God's testimony to them. But instead of obeying, he rebelled. And he went in the opposite direction of that which God had sent him. As a result, he got into a great deal of trouble. And not only did he get into trouble himself, but he brought trouble on others. Those mariners with whom he had shipped, they found themselves in the midst of that terrific storm with their lives in danger. All of that we noticed. And then we saw him cast out into those troubled waters, which immediately become calm. And he swallowed up by that great fish that prepared by God, but he's miraculously preserved in that fish. Then we saw his repentance, his turning to the Lord for salvation, and as a result, he is vomited up on dry land again. He's restored. We might say he's resurrected, and he was recommissioned And the second time, as he goes now to fulfill his God-given mission, he becomes a great blessing to that Gentile city and nation. So that we saw that amazing sight of the great city of Nineveh on its knees in repentance before God. Now, those of you who know your Bible well enough to recall the history of the Israelitish nation, both as to the past, the present, and prophetically the future, I think we'll realize that in those outstanding thoughts in connection with the life and experience of Jonah, we have the history of his nation, the nation of Israel. For Israel was called to be a special testimony for God among the Gentile nations. You remember God promised to Abraham in Genesis 12 that through his seed all nations of the earth should be blessed. Now we know that that finds its perfect fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who came into the world through the Gentile nation. But we also know from the scriptural record that God set the nation of Israel as a lighthouse in the midst of the darkness that was all around. He gave them the truth. Now you will find in the records of many of the nations, if not all of them, if we had them, you will find little glimmerings of truth. Undoubtedly, the residue of that which was given to man originally. That is why you will find faint traces of the truth in these varied heathen religions. You won't find the truth there, but you'll find faint traces of it. Because all man's knowledge originally came from God. And man originally had the knowledge of the one true God. But that became distorted, of course, and almost non-existent in the knowledge that most of the nations had. But here's this little nation of Israel, Abraham's seed. And God gives to them the knowledge of himself. He gives to them the law. He gives to them the scriptures. And he gives to them the prophets. And they were intended to be a light to the Gentiles. They were to be a teacher to the nation. They were to stand as a lighthouse to the truth of the one God in the midst of a world that had sunk in the darkness and depravity of polytheism, worshiping many, many gods. But what did Israel do? Instead of obeying God, the historical record is dark with their disobedience and their departure from God until we find them actually going into the darkness that was all around them. And even worshiping the gods of the nations around them, instead of fulfilling their mission to become a lighthouse to the nations, they failed and they disobeyed. And as a result, what happened? Just exactly what happened to Jonah. They were cast out. God cast them out of their land. The 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, carried away to Assyria. This very nation that Jonah was sent with his message to. The southern kingdom of Judah, the 2.5 tribes, carried away eventually to Babylon. And not only did they bring trouble and distress upon themselves, as God used these various nations as a scourge in his hand to punish his own people, but because these nations, encouraged by that, went farther than God ever intended and vented the hatred and wickedness and cruelty of their hearts, God turned around and punished them in due time. So that they have now vanished from the scene. And we noticed how that Jonah cast out into the sea, nevertheless brought salvation from that immediate danger that those sailors were in. Well, you recall the story how when he was cast overboard into the waters of the Mediterranean, there was a great calm. And the mariners feared, and they worshipped the true God. And they were delivered from the danger that they were in. And one of the amazing miracles of history is just this, that as Jonah was preserved, although swallowed up by that whale, he was preserved in it. He didn't lose his identity. When he came out again, he was still Jonah. He was a chastened Jonah. He was a disciplined Jonah. He was a Jonah who'd learned some lessons the hard way, but he was still Jonah, just the same. So that today, while the Jewish nation cast off, not away, but cast off by God and cast out of their land, yet they have not lost their identity. That's the amazing thing. Now, that's not true of any other nationality. Nations have absorbed other people. We're the great melting pot of the nations here in America. And a man comes from Scotland or from England or from France or some other place, and he very soon loses that identity, and he becomes an American. And his sons more so are Americans, and his grandsons are even more so Americans. They're just swallowed up, and they lose their identity. But not a Jew. Not a Jew. Doesn't matter how many generations. What is he in Germany? He's a German Jew. What is he in Russia? He's a Russian Jew. What is in America? He's recognized as a Jew. The only nation like that. For God has said, the people shall dwell alone. They shall not be numbered among the nations. And there has always been that unique identity to the Jewish people because they are the Jonahs of history. They are the indestructible people. There have been more efforts to wipe out the Jewish nation than any other people on the face of the earth. But you can't wipe them out. You'll find them everywhere. And most often where you find them, they're somewhere near the top of the heap. Why? Because they have been preserved even in the day of their being cast off, the day of their dispersion. They are being preserved by God because they have a future. Now, I'm going over some of these things rather carefully because we have a great wave today. We're not getting too much of it down here, but we're getting a great wave today of teaching that claims that there's no future for the Jews. My friends, there's just as much a future for the Jewish nation as there was a future for Jonah. That whale may have had some strange things in his stomach before, but he found one thing he couldn't digest, and that was Jonah. And this old world has had a lot of queer people in it. But they've had one people they just couldn't digest, and that was the Jew. They can't digest them, and they never will. And as a way to use the language of our book, they're going to be vomited up again in their own land. And they're going to do what God tells them. They've got to be used of God. The whole Bible's full of that, and I don't understand people that otherwise are good Bible teachers. I don't understand them. They've become so blinded by something or other that they can't see any future of the Jews. I can't see anything else when I read my Bible. I'd have to take me a pair of scissors, and I'd have an awfully thin Bible by the time I got through if I had to cut out every passage that tells me in clear, unmistakable language that there is a divine future for the Jewish people. Well, what has happened? Now that they're cast off, not away, as they're cast off as God's people, what has happened? Why, the gospel has gone out to the Gentiles. And now the church is by far composed of Gentiles. The vast majority in the church today are Gentiles. The gospel is being preached to the Gentile world, and souls are being saved, and God is getting not a saved world. The time hasn't come for that. God isn't getting a saved world. God is getting a little company out of this world, just like that little company of sailors that came to know the true God because Jonah was cast overboard. And that's just what the church is. It's a little ship, as it were, sailing through this stormy sea, and the people on board have come to know God. And thank God we're in that ship. Now, we don't need to worry too much about the waves and the billows and the wind and all that, because God's going to see to it that just as that ship didn't go to the bottom, the church isn't either. To the Lord Jesus Christ, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're going safe to the other side, just as the Lord Jesus said to his disciples as they got in that little boat and they pushed off into the sea of Gennesaret that was soon to be rocked by a storm. Let us go to the other side. Brothers and sisters, he hasn't said to the church, let's go to the 20th century and then go to the bottom. God's made enough provision for the 20th century. And the church is going to go right through the 20th century. The only thing she isn't going to go through is through the tribulation, because she's going to go up, not under. And there's no need of us worrying about going under. Let's all enjoy the blessed hope we're going to go up one of these times. And until we go up, we're going to go through. Right through all the waves and the wind and the billows and the opposition and the temptations and the snares and the apostasy and everything. We're going to go right through it until at last we land on the golden shore. Well, Jonah was swallowed, but he wasn't digested. And the whale was awfully glad to get rid of him, I imagine. And you know, if there's one thing that the world's going to be glad to get rid of, and that is the Jewish people. I don't say that disparagingly, I say that scripturally. God called Jerusalem a burdensome stone to the nations. And every nation that's had to do with Jerusalem has found they've had, in our language, a hot potato. And they wonder what in the world to do with it. The Turks got hold of it and didn't know what in the world to do with it. And the British took it over and they didn't know what to do with it. And the United Nations took it over and they don't know what to do with it. And the Arabs have got it now and they don't know what to do with it. It's just, I say in our language, a hot potato. And in scriptural language, a burdensome stone. Why? Because it belongs to God. It's the only nation in the whole world where God put his name. The only city, I should say, in the whole world where God put his name. God's going to take care of it. He's got a future for it. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself is going to come right back to that city. I'm as sure of that as I'm standing on this platform. And so the time is coming when God's people are going to be back again in their own land. Prophecy of Ezekiel makes that very, very clear. If words mean anything whatsoever, Ezekiel chapters 36 and 37 and 38, they make very, very, very clear that God's people are going to be back in their own land. Not back in unbelief, as they are today. I don't believe the present gathering is God's gathering. That's man's gathering. It may be the front porch to it. God can use it as a stepping stone, but it isn't the regathering of the Bible, because they've gone back in unbelief. They've got no more use for Jesus Christ now than they ever had. But there's going to be a regathering by the Spirit of God. And we're that much nearer to it because there are many of them. The nation, of course, the whole isn't back there, and they haven't got any of their holy places. They're still in the hands of the Arabs, but it's a stepping stone at least. But thank God the time is coming when God's going to gather his people back there, and he's going to set his king over there. And when he does, the Jewish nation is going to be the channel of blessing to the whole world. To me, some of the most stimulating and inspiring and faith-invigorating promises and prophecies in the Word of God are those that show us as Jerusalem, the center of that flow of knowledge of God to the four corners of the world. It's going to come from Jerusalem. Why? Because the king's going to be there. And he's going to have his redeemed, regenerated nation. And they are going to be the channel of blessing to the whole wide world. There are a lot of scriptures we go into. I have to resist the temptation, because once you get in the Old Testament prophetic scriptures regarding these things, we'd be here a lot longer than you want to be. But I want you to just look at these verses, and that's why I began with Romans 11. That's why I say I can't understand any of my beloved brethren who, if they didn't have another page in their Bible but Romans chapter 11, I don't see how they could understand. They could say that there's no future for Israel. Now it says in verse 11, have they stumbled that they should fall? That is, Israel certainly has stumbled. Whom did they stumble over? They stumbled over the stumbling stone, the rock that was laid in Zion. Instead of using the Lord Jesus Christ as a stepping stone to salvation, they used it as a stumbling stone. And they stumbled over it to be broken. Not to fall irretrievably, but to be broken. And they're broken and scattered now. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Why are you and I saved today in one sense? Because Israel stumbled over Christ and the gospel was released to the Gentiles, to the whole wide world. That's as simple as John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He came unto his own faith, and his own people received him not. That's the Jews. They received him not, they stumbled over. But as many as received him, that's the Gentiles. As many as receive him, to them give you power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. To the Jew first, and also the Gentile. And the Jew did receive the gospel first. They were all Jews in the day of Pentecost. The early church was composed to the large extent of Jews. They had the gospel first. I don't believe that that verse means that today the Jew has any priority over the Gentile. I don't believe it means for a moment that if I met two men and one was a Jew and the other was a Gentile, I have to preach the gospel to the Jew first. No, no. He had the gospel first in his dispensation. But even then there was a rejection of the gospel so far as the nation is concerned. But thank God now salvation has come to the Gentile. That's where we are right now. We're getting into the ship of the church, the true church, and we're sailing through the stormy waters. Now, if the fall of them, notice this carefully, please. Because somewhere along the line, somebody will come along and try to tell you this idea that there's no future to the Jews. And you ought to know what the Bible teaches. But if the fall of them be the riches of the world, that's just what we've been studying. That is, they stumbled and fell and were rejected because they rejected Christ. Now, the riches of the world is what? The gospel. Salvation of whosoever will. And the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. You see? That's all I need. I don't need any arguments or books or anything else. The Jews have a fullness ahead of them. The Bible doesn't teach that. This means nothing. Have they any fullness now? Any spiritual fullness? Is this the day of the fullness of the Jewish nation spiritually? Are they turning to God? Are they getting saved by thousands? No, of course. Every now and then when a Jewish person does trust Christ, it's a matter of special thanksgiving to God. This is the diminishing of them. This is the fall of them. Anybody can see that. Now God says, if that be so, if the fact that they've fallen and been diminished, if that has brought all the riches of the gospel to us Gentiles, what about when the fullness comes in? Oh, there's a fullness ahead, thank God. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation, now notice this, them which are my flesh. When he's talking about the Israelites, he's not talking about the church, as a lot of people are getting all confused. And they're trying to tell us the church is the Israel now. Absolute, utter nonsense. He's talking about those who are his flesh. You see? What was the Paul by the flesh? He was a Jew and you couldn't make anything else out of it. By grace, he was a member of the church of God. But by the flesh, he wasn't a member of the church of God. And by the flesh, he wasn't a Gentile. By the flesh, he was a Jew. Now, he says, I'm trying to stir up those who are my kindred after the flesh, the Jews, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them, please get this, just picture Jonah thrown overboard. If the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, let's just go back to a little illustration. Jonah's cast over, and a shipload of Gentiles get saved. That was good. But when Jonah comes back out of that whale, was it just a little shipload got saved? No, it was a whole city. Whole city, you see? The fall was Jonah going down, and a shipload got saved. But when Jonah comes out, and has learned his lesson, turns to God and goes out to witness for him the way he should have done it at first. A whole city, the mightiest city of the day then, is brought to their knees before God. If the casting away of them be the reconciling the world, what shall the receiving of them be? Wonder what I'd have to do with that if I believed some of this nonsense, that there's no future for the Jews. Well, what would that mean? Receiving of them. Receiving of them. Does that mean just when one Jew receives Christ and he's received, does that shake the whole world? No. He's just another pebble on the beach. Same as the Gentiles. But this says, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? The greatest ingathering of souls is not going to be at the present time. The greatest ingathering of souls from the nations is going to be in the future. after this dispensation has ended altogether, and after the Jew has been brought back again to his original place and position, after he's been brought back to know God, then he's going to be used as the channel of blessing, and my Bible says the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That isn't now, never will be now. With all the radio programs and all of the preaching and all the missionary work, thank God for it all. But the knowledge of God is never going to cover this earth as the waters cover the sea during the age of grace.
Why? Because they'll contradict about one half of the New Testament. My Bible tells me this present age is going to end in apostasy. My Bible tells me when the Son of Man returns, shall he find the faith on the earth? Now, was everywhere, you wouldn't have to look for it to find it. You just open your eyes, there it'll be. But that's what my Bible says. This age is going to end in apostasy. It's going to end in darkness, just as every age of the past has ended. But thank God, the darkness of that is only the prelude to the light of a glorious millennial day that's coming in when God is going to bring in his kingdom. And he is going to use as the instrument in the bringing of that kingdom his earthly people, Israel. Take a look at Jonah trudging down the road there to Nineveh. I don't know how far he had to go. His landing spot from his submarine ride has not told us. How far God made him walk on foot, I don't know, but I don't imagine they put him right out at the front door of Nineveh. You always pay a price when you get away from God. And he had to walk, and I imagine maybe get a few blisters on his heels before he got to Nineveh. He was paying the price for disobeying God, as we all have to do eventually. But when he got back, this lone Jew, the very picture of helplessness, preaching, and a whole city, the greatest city of the known world, and on its knees before God. What a lovely picture. What a lovely picture. And a comparative handful. For the Jewish nation has always been a little nation. That's why God picked them. So they couldn't glory in themselves. They have, but they shouldn't. But when God uses them, it won't be because of their number. It'll be because of himself. And a comparative handful proclaiming the truth of God to the whole world, and God eventually bringing all the nations into the blessedness of the kingdom under the divine sway of his beloved. What a future that. We're living in a poor old troubled world, brothers and sisters. Let's not get too occupied with it. We have an unsinkable ship. And we're going to go through all right. And this poor world, although it doesn't know it and doesn't believe it, it's got a glorious future. But that glorious future isn't going to emanate from Washington or Moscow or Geneva or Lake Success or anywhere else. It's going to emanate from the throne of God. It's going to emanate on earth from Jerusalem, the city of the great King, where God shall set up the center of his kingdom. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege of meeting together to sing thy praises, to thank thee for thy beloved Son, our Savior and Lord and coming Redeemer and King. We thank thee for thy precious word that we've been able to read together. We pray that thou would give us understanding, Lord, in these things. We might not be led astray, but rather, Lord, that our hearts might be stimulated and stirred as we think of a God who's able to carry out all of his eternal plans and purposes. Our Father, we thank thee, thou art the God that can overcome obstacles.
Thou art the God that can brush aside difficulties. Thou art the God that can sweep away everything which stand in the way of thine eternal counsels of mercy and grace toward a poor world. Even though it will take that time of judgment that lies ahead, we thank thee all of thy purposes shall be fulfilled, and we bless thee. Oh God, we bless thee for that central place that the church shall occupy in association with her glorious Lord in all of that grand and glorious future that lies ahead. Lord, may our spirits be uplifted as we leave this service. Again, we pray for all those that were in our prayers previously, those we may have overlooked. The Lord be with them and bless them and use them for the name's sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.